I serve. You notice on today, amen, that if God is not your shepherd, if Jesus is not your shepherd, you're being led by something. And it ain't God. Amen. Now, I did research shepherds, and I found that it was common, actually, for shepherds to shepherd in groups. So I was like, well, Lord, maybe I just said something counterfactual. Maybe I just said something that was off. But the Lord said, no, I'm still a group shepherd, you see, because he's one God, eternally existing in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so even though we have one shepherd, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So you have to understand that, amen, we have God working on us in three different ways, amen. And when we let God lead us, amen, we can't be led astray by nothing else. But you got to understand that, amen, we have to declare a statement of the Lord being our shepherd. But in this passage, the psalmist is saying, I am his sheep. Amen. It's flip-flopped. Amen. I mean, some of us want to confess that God is our Savior, but can we actually say that we're his sheep? Amen. And his people. I want to let you know that in 2012, there are many people who are walking around saying they're God's people. They want to walk around and say, I am the sheep of his pasture. But I would just want to share with you briefly on today that there are some ways that you can find out if you're really his shepherd, his sheep. Amen. Because one thing about it is that when you're really a sheep for God, amen, you become someone that someone can follow. Uh-oh. Amen. We need to understand what it means to be a sheep. That's why God gave me the title, I am sheep and rise of the sheep. Because you need to know, one, if you are his sheep. And two, you need to understand what it takes, amen, to be his sheep. Amen. I told you I'm not going to be before you long at all this morning. Amen. Three steps, for those of you taking notes, I guess I'm going to be my Joel Osteen type today. I'm going to try to hoop, but I may just be like, this is my Bible, you know, I don't know. But, amen. The first thing about sheep is that sheep have a natural inclination to follow a leader to new pastures. And it's because of this pivotal factor that they became one of the first domesticated livestock species. Amen. The psalmist would say in Psalm 23 that it's because of this and because we are God's sheep that he's able to make us to lie down in green pastures. It is because of this, if you're really a sheep of God, he's able to lead you beside still waters. Amen. And we have to understand sometimes, this is something God showed me, is that what is green to you ain't always green to God. And what's green to God don't always look green to you. But you have to trust that if God is your shepherd, wherever he's taking you is green pastures and is still waters. It may seem hard and hard to comprehend, but I want to tell you about a man named Abram who seemed to be living in green pastures. He seemed to be beside still waters. Yet God told him, I want you to get up out of where you're at. And I want you to go to a land that you don't even haven't seen yet. You don't even know about. But I'm going to send you to that land. But because Abram was a true sheep, he got up and was led by God to eventually be the promised land. Some of us, the book of Abraham would have stopped right there. Because we're looking around and it looks green here. I got everything. I'm rich. My daddy's rich. I got nice cattle and servants. Why do I need to go out and leave out and go somewhere? I submit to you today, if that's your question, your argument, you're not sheep of his pasture. Because I want to submit to you that when God sends you out, wherever he sends you is green pastures. Amen. The Lord took me to Joseph. Amen. I didn't think that prison would be green pastures. Yet God used the prison to launch him into the palace. Green pastures. Some of us have jobs we don't want. We're living in places we don't want to be in. We're locations we don't want to be in. And we're despising it. But God said, this is your green pastures. You don't believe me? It was in the account of Joseph that the declaration was made that you will bear fruit in your land of affliction and your fruit would remain. Some of us have to realize that our fruit can only be born in struggle. It can only be born in difficulty. It can only be born in tough times. So we have to understand that green to us ain't really green. It's astroturf. is a mirage. It's fake grass. Because when God leads you, you can take it to the bank that you're going to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, because he always leads you to green pastures. So I want to encourage you, quit complaining about your situation. Quit complaining about your circumstances. Quit complaining about the fact that I'm always surrounded by these people and that people, because I'm telling you, if God sent you there, it's green. It's as green as can be, and the waters are still. And I submit to you that when God moves you forward, you're going to look back and realize just how deep you were. I'm telling you, I look back at some of my journals, and I said, man, I was deep. I need to get back to that. But it wasn't no fun time. It wasn't no easy time. It was a tough time. But those pastures were green. Amen. So we have to understand that whenever God leads us, it's always in fruitful places. One other thing, I have to put this in there. God brought this back to me. Amen. It was hard back in the time, especially in Bible times, to have sheep in the valley. Because, in the valley, it was easier to grow the grain and the rice down there. So most of the shepherding happened up in the mountains, in rocky incline, and tough terrain on the rocks. And so many of us keep wanting to go down into the valley, but God's trying to take us up into the mountaintop, up into the rocks, up into high places. Did not the prophet say, amen, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my, let me go back further because that didn't touch someone. Though the fig tree shall not blossom. In other words, I'm living in a place where, amen, the fig tree's not going to blossom no more. The cattle will no longer be in the stall. Amen. The field will not yield her meat, and everything seems to be going tops and turvy. But yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He is my strength. Amen. He will set my feet as hinds' feet, and he will cause me to walk in my hind places. Amen. The scripture said in the word, amen, that the sinners in Zion are afraid. Amen. And they wondered who shall, amen, endure the fire. But the Bible said he who is righteous and he who is upright. God is not going to hold back the fire, but he'll put you up on the mountain where you will miss the indignation of the fire. So I submit to you that if you really are his sheep, you'll go wherever he tells you to go. If you really are his sheep, it don't matter how barren the land is, you will bear fruit in that barren land. Amen. Give God some praise on this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Psalms 37:23 states, the steps of a good man are ordered by your finances, are ordered by your wife and husband, ordered by, amen, where the next, amen, deal is, ordered by your intuition and intellect. No, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to submit to you. Oh, let me say the rest of it, because we don't like to say the rest of the story. This is how you can tell the sheep from the ain't sheep. So the sheep from the goat. And because the scripture said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I'm not going to finish this. I'm just going to say I'm not going to finish this. I'm not finished. Because, see, I want to submit to you that when it said, and he delighteth in the way, that he was not God. That he was the man whose steps God ordered. So again, if God leads you into the valley of the shadow of death, you will delight in the way. Because you're ordered by him. The word he denotes the good man. But you got to break the scripture down a little more. Amen. Because, amen, the word the word delighteth means to take pleasure in. And pleased to do. So if I was to reread the scripture, it would say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he is pleased to do whatever God tells him to do, and he is happy to go wherever God tells him to go. Say it. We didn't like that one. We didn't like. See, we were glad we heard that my steps are ordered by the Lord, but you got to enjoy where he's taking you. The good, the bad, I submit to you, Joseph didn't like necessarily where he was, but because he knew God had his back, because he knew God was still guiding and leading him, I'm sure he enjoyed seeing the miracles God worked. I mean, how can you be thrown in a pit and then sold into slavery and you become a prince of Egypt? I mean, how does that work? Amen. But the steps of a good man are ordered. The word ordered means to be established, to be stable. The steps of a good man are stable in the Lord. Yes. So All this came to the first point that the sheep of God are led by God. It's the nature to follow him. Don't you understand what that means? Real sheep, they were born that way. They were born with that instinctual desire to be led. That's why I don't understand these saints today. This 2012 Christian we got out there, this prototype Christian out there that say that they're saved for real, but they can't be submissive under somebody. They can't come under the leadership of a pastor. They can't come into a church and sit down and be taught something, but they're saved. They got the same Jesus that I got, but I can't, I don't go to church because people ain't real. And no, you're not real. Because if the same Jesus in me was in you, you would desire to follow Christ. You would desire to follow the people as they follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, Paul had the instinctual desire to follow Christ, and those that came after him, he said, follow me, but don't follow me just to follow me, but I want you to get to the point where you come next to me so you can follow Christ for yourself. Yes, yes. So I don't understand these new Christians today that say they say they're saved like I am, but they can't submit themselves under the mighty hand of God. They don't think they need church. They don't think they need a pastor. They don't think they need spiritual accountability. Even though the Bible said, as iron sharpeneth iron, so does a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In other words, we need one another. Amen. I'm going to move on. Amen. Point number two. Amen. All sheep have a tendency to congregate close to other members of a flock. Amen. It is another natural instinct. Farmers exploit this behavior to keep sheep together on unfenced pastures and to move them more easily. God's posing the question, amen, who you associate with speaks to where your true intentions and desires lay. Amen. We know that sheep like to flock together. You know, they always say, you know, I'm understanding this more as I get older. They say birds of a feather flock together. Amen. We hear like spirits attract. I submit to you, if you say, but your group, your homies, your boys, your girls, I mean, they all thugs and they smoking weed and they sleeping around, then I got to question you. Amen. I submit to you, Jesus' homies were not sinners. Yes, he may have sat down and ate with them, but I guarantee you they were getting the gospel. Yes. But Jesus, amen, when he really needed it, he came around the saints. Yes. Amen. We got to watch who we're grouping with. A lot of times we tell ourselves by who we group with.
How about that?
Amen. By who we congregate with. Amen. Also, who you associate with speaks to whether if you are a sheep or not. Oh. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? For what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And get this, and I will be their God. In other words, I am the shepherd, and they shall be my people. I am his people and the sheep of his pasture. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. We cannot associate with any old thing. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Amen. Who are you grouped with? Who are you naturally drawn to? Who are you attracted to? Who do you just got to be around all the time? And I mean, who do you get that? You go well, but when do you get that little taste and just, I got to just get amongst my peoples? Why? Why? You know, I love that phrase on Blade. I love it. Because at the end of the day, they would say, at the end of the day, Blade, the thirst will win. I want to submit to you, what you thirst for is what's going to win. If you're thirsting after lust, it don't matter how much you fake being saved. It don't matter how much you shout and dance and speak in tongues. Sooner or later, your thirst will win. That's why we got to change our appetite. I'm not going to finish this. I'm telling you. I do fight with soda. I'm going to use that. Because soda's good to me. It tastes good. Amen. Don't you know, it takes me about a few weeks to change my appetite from soda. It takes some time. It takes some struggle. I go through withdrawal and headaches and all that stuff because it's getting out my system. God's not going to save you and that sinful appetite. You got to change your appetite. Those of you that have been on a diet know that part of being a diet is changing your diet, changing your appetite, changing what you eat. Amen. You can't eat what you like to eat, and you got to eat what you don't like to eat. That's a struggle. That's a fight. It takes a commitment. Every day, it takes a life. You begin to realize a diet is a life. It's not a thing you do. It consumes your life. Well, the same applies to hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's a life. It takes every day denying the flesh. Amen. You got to change your appetite. Amen. Don't you know first you got to develop one, though? I was sharing with the elder a little while back. The Lord had dealt with me clear as day. He said, the only way you can develop an appetite for something is to taste it. To have tasted it and eaten it. And once you taste it, it logs into your memory. So you can smell something all you want. But once you eat it, it's logged into your memory. And you develop a taste for it once it gets in you. That's why I love how David said, when he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste it for yourself. Don't smell it. Don't observe it. You need to taste it. That word taste means experience. Oh, experience and see that the Lord is good. Some of us, we just got to change our appetite. Amen. I'm going to move on. I know we're hungry and we're ready to go, so I'm going to move on. Amen. The last one I want to say is, my inheritance is among them who are sanctified. Again, I don't understand the 2012 Christian. I don't understand them. That say that they can be saved like me, but I don't need a church. I don't need to assemble with people at church because, you know, church folk is fake anyway and all of that. And most of these people are saying they've never been to church, but you know, but they know somehow the church folk is fake and all that. But I'm reading here and I'm finding that when I get saved, I got to find others that are saved just like me. And once we find each other, we got to stay connected and help one another and build up because it's a natural instinct. See, we're getting killed by our instincts, y'all. Yeah. Our hunger, our desire is betraying us. We say it, but what are you drawn to? Amen. So lastly, sheep are also Sheep are also extremely, extremely food oriented. So again, I pose to you, what is your diet? What kind of food drives you? Matthew 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My godfather would say this, what you feed the most is going to be strongest. Amen. I submit to you on today, if you're going to be able to stand up and proclaim, I am sheep, you got to figure out, what do you hunger for? What is your craving? See, here's the thing about a craving, and here's the thing about a thirst. You know, I shared this with the elder, too. That must have been Rhema night, because, I mean, I just, it was getting to me. I said, the thing about thirst is that thirst is a sign of dehydration. Thirst is a natural biological response that's launched out to let you know you need to get some water in your body. Because water and food is one of the basic human needs. And so when you start to thirst for it, that means that you don't have enough of it and you need to get it. And if you don't get it, you'll start to die of thirst. This is what God showed me about this. Take prayer and praise, for example. People don't pray and they don't praise God today. But see, here's the nature about thirst. When you die of thirst, it's not an immediate thing. It's a gradual thing. First, you go a few days without water. Then after a while, the thirst button kicks in. You need to drink something. Then after a while, systems start shutting down. one by one by one, and then before you know it, you're dead. It can be a matter of weeks, you know, or so forth, but it's a slow process. Why is that? I almost want to do that. Ask me why, I think, but, you know, why is that important? Because a lot of people today are going without prayer, going without praising him, going without reading his word, and because they're not dying right now, because they're not struggling right now, they think they can live without praying, without fasting, without reading his word. But I submit to you, we got a lot of dehydrated saints right now. God's been crying to them, get in your word. God's been crying to them, come back to me. Come to me, all you that's heavy laden and burdened, I will give you rest. He's crying to them, but yeah, I can make it. I don't need, it don't take all that. But I'm afraid to tell you, if you don't come back to them, you're going to experience a slow and painful death. I also want to submit to you, amen, that if you don't eat the right stuff, you can still become malnourished and messed up. Look, this is something I learned. This came from maturity. I used to hate veggies. I didn't like veggies that much. And I vowed when I got grown, I wasn't going to eat veggies. If I wanted meat and potatoes, I was going to eat meat, potatoes, and I wasn't getting no veggies. You know, if I just wanted soda, I was just going to drink soda. I'm dehydrated. Let me just drink 3 Dr. Peppers. I know there's some water properties in there. I'll take it out, and, you know, I'll be good. Because that's what I wanted to do. But sooner or later, I had to come to the grips with, you know, if I don't eat vegetables, if I don't put, I mean, broccoli in my system, if I don't put Brussels sprouts in my system, if I don't put carrots in my system, I'm depriving my body of necessary nutrients that it needs to stay healthy. And the Lord was sharing, we like to just like one part of God, one part of his word, the happy part, the shouting part, the God is love part. That's what's wrong with people. God is love, and God thinks good thoughts of you. And that's fine and dandy. But he also said live holy. He said live righteous. He said walk upright. That, you know, he said all of these things. We got to eat the whole roll. Yes. So again, if, you know, what drives you? I'm going to close with, what is your appetite? What is your appetite? What do you jones for? So you don't have to answer me, because God knows what you jones for. He knows. And, you know, and I do relate to the women. I ask the women to help me out sometimes, because I'm telling you, women have this sense. They can tell. We can try to fool them, but they can just tell when you're lying. You know, they can tell when you know, they just got that sense. But God has a sense like that, too. You think you're trying to get over on them and all that. But I want to submit to you on this morning that if you're going to be his people and the sheep of his pasture, you have to A, watch what's leading your appetite. B, you must, amen, allow your steps to be ordered by the Lord. And C, you got to watch who you congregate with. It's as simple as that. We like to hold God accountable to the fact that he's the shepherd, but are you being a sheep? Are you following him? Are you going where he's telling you to go? Are you finding it hard to trust that where he's taking you is the right way? See, I can talk about that because I never thought I'd struggle with that. See, I thought, you know, it was going to be like as bold and daring as saying, oh, move to Philly, or, you know, oh, go out and do that. But when it came to the point where it began to really become a reality that he's getting ready to sacrifice my dreams of doing this and telling me to go here, and I don't feel adequate, I don't feel right doing it, and yet this is the door he's opening, but I'm wanting to go this way. God's saying, okay, now we're at some place we need to work. What's your appetite? Am I really your savior? Am I really the one you're following? Or are you really following me as long as your desire fits it? And then once my desire doesn't match with yours, you leave for your desire. You got to watch your appetite. The world out there, they're looking for a different diet. I still believe in 2012, with all that's going on, the people in darkness are still looking for light. And we have to make sure that the light shines through us. And I love this because that's why we're talking about stray sheep. Because of the natural desire to follow somebody. If they see you following somebody, they'll follow you. Now, I'm going to share this testimony, and we can go ahead and stand to our feet. I'm going to share this testimony as we stand to our feet. I was going to, I forgot what I was looking for. Went to buy some. It wasn't cooking oil, but it was something I was looking for. They had it nowhere. It was cooking oil. It was peanut cooking oil. I went to Safeway. They couldn't find it. We was at the commissary. Couldn't find it. And so the option was Walmart or Marketplace. Well, I guess I better go to Marketplace. I ended up going to Walmart, y'all, because I actually ended up having it, you know. But I went to Marketplace. And I went in there. And as I went to the checkout to ask him for if they had the oil, the guy's like, hey. And I looked at him. I was like, I look like I should know you. He said, did you go to Clover Park? I said, yeah, I did. He said, did you by chance have summer school now? I was like, yes, I did. He was like, God bless you. It's good to see you again. And it hit me exactly what it was. For you see, I had to go to summer school. I was mad. Oh, I was mad. It was my fault, but I was mad. I felt like people weren't going to respect me no more because I'm one of the bad kids that, you know, get bad grades. I got to go to summer school and all that stuff. And in my biology class, I got sat next to this blood. I mean, head to toe red, you know, the real deal. He wasn't no poser. He was a real deal. And I didn't talk to him, but I was living the life. I always carried my Bible with me. I had a little pocket Bible. I would sit on my desk in free time. I'd read it. But I wouldn't say anything. And one day, he was like, man, so you're a Christian? I was like, yes, I am. He said, you know, I've been watching you. And, you know, I got some questions for you. And so then it turned from him watching me to coming to me and asking questions. Then I was like, you know, well, this is what God really says. And this one, now when I want to, within 4 weeks into it, he came and said, guess what? What? I got saved. I was like, to God be the glory. Yeah, I got some CDs. I got some gospel gangsters and all this stuff. You know what? I was like, you know what? That's okay, because the more of Jesus he gets, the more it's going to change his diet. When we graduated, he done graduated from gospel gangsters to something less, you know, and everything. He had his Bible. He was reading it. I mean, he had a church he joined, a pastor, all that stuff. I saw him. When I saw him at the marketplace there, I couldn't recognize him. Exactly. I mean, well-groomed, no earrings, professional demeanor. He didn't have that slang, that little drawl of, you know, all that stuff. Spoke properly. And he was blessing my soul. Man, God, he's so good. He's a, like, tell it, man. Go ahead. But I said that to say that he was seeking. He was looking. And all I was doing was living the life, making sure that when God said move, I say yes. When he said don't do it, I didn't do it. If I stumbled, Lord, forgive me. And I got back up, because the devil wants to keep you down. But yes, you got to get back up and go forward. I didn't preach at him. I didn't do any of that. All I did was live the life. And he came to me, and the Lord opened the door. And I share that because as we get ready to go, some of us think that we got to be able to be this great orator to be able to reach out to that world. Some of us think that we got to be able to walk with this, you know, the power to raise the dead and heal the sick. Don't get me wrong. I mean, God said I give you power to cast out devils. No, don't get me wrong. And some people are anointed and have gifts and all that. But the most effective way that you can reach someone is to make sure that you're following Christ yourself.
Yes.
Because then when they come to you to figure out why you're following him and how to, you got to be able to tell them how to and why to.
Yes.
And so that's why I was struggling with the rise of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Because people got to see us following our shepherd.
Yes.
They've got to see it.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about on Sunday morning either.
All right.
Because they actually don't see us
on Sunday
morning. They are right here right now. They're in the bars. They're in the AA. They're in the grocery. They watching the preseason football game like it means something. I mean, they don't see us in here. But they're going to see you tomorrow when you go back to work.
Yes.
They're going to see you when you go back to school, when you go to the grocery store. They've got to see you following your shepherd and seeing that when you get led in the valley of shadow of death, you don't fear evil because of who your shepherd is. That's why we read the 23rd Psalm. Look at it this way. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Boom, 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 boom. So on this morning, if you desire prayer, the altar is open. I understand. What the Lord gave me, I have visions of people running around and, you know, touching doorposts and all that stuff. And then God said, don't preach that. But we have to be able to say that the Lord God is my shepherd. And then we have to say, and I am his sheep of his pasture. So on this morning, if you find that you're falling short in one of those areas, you're either finding that you're not really submitting yourself enough for God to direct and lead you in every way. I didn't even get a chance to quote this scripture. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct. He shall shepherd your path. And so, if you find that you haven't yet yielded all the way to him and let him direct your life, you still are holding on to a little bit of power you have and doing what you think is right. But today, you want to make sure you make that declaration before God that you are my shepherd. There's no other gods, no other idols, no other things in the way. You are my shepherd. The altar's open. Conversely, if you find it hard to follow after Christ, if you find it hard to get around the people of God, if you find it hard to even have an appetite for the things of God because it's being overruled by the appetite of the world and the lust of this world and everything the world has to offer, but you're tired of that diet, you're tired of what it's doing to your spiritual body, you're tired of how it's causing you to become so unhealthy spiritually that you're ready for a dietary change, the altar is open. And lastly, if you need prayer for anything else, the altar is open.
Don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Oh Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord, whatever it is that you are doing in this season, don't do it without me. Breaking in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. And Lord, if you're elevating in this season, don't do it without me.
Pastor, we have two leaving this week. So, Pastor the Tellers and Brother Davis come up. You know how we got to do. We can't let you get up out of here without praying, because that devil would like nothing better than to take you out over the airways or get you to your destination and sift you as wheat. Praise God. Sometimes we are so excited about where we're going, we don't pray a hedge around us, and the devil waiting to pounce as soon as we get there. Praise God. And says they're leaving out on this week. I know we got some leaving out next week, but these the ones leaving today. Amen.